Thank you, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, and I, and there's people out there somewhere in that camera. Yeah? Hey, guys. Bless you. Man, Easter Sunday, I feel like every time I preach Easter Sunday. I, like some of you, you know, grew up in church and went to church and never really understood Easter Sunday. There's a joke almost within the church, and if you're here, we're not joking about you. It's not a joke. It tells you there's a hunger in men. There's people that feel like they should go to church on Easter that never really have that conviction any other time, but that then Easter rolls around, they feel like, you know, we ought to go to church somewhere. It's like deep in the heart of man, they want to give honor to God, or they want to honor the cross the best they, but I think what happens is we don't really understand. So it becomes, okay, here's this Jesus died on the cross to forgive my sins. Why is he so into forgiving my sins that he would do that? Because that's pretty extreme. Yeah. Like, that's a little more than inconvenience,
right?
Dying on a cross. Let's just talk about it. God becoming a man is pretty mind-boggling. And the fact that he would want to become a man to fulfill what man failed, to restore man to what he was created to be, is pretty incredible when you realize that. If all you see is he died on the cross to forgive my sin, you might have more questions than revelation. You might be like, why does he care so much? Well, why does he want me forgiven? Why does he want me in heaven so much? Like, he seems so far away now. Anybody ever have those things going on in your head when you're growing up and you're hearing the gospel and you're seeing Jesus on a cross and have the why rather than the woe? You know what I'm saying? So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to talk about the why, because I didn't have the why till I was 33, but I grew up in church and went to church till I was 20 consistently, but I didn't have the why. And I would get convicted by a crucifixion scene. I would be like, man, and I knew my heart, I wasn't living what that meant. Whatever that meant, I knew that wasn't living that. I was like, why would he do that for me? Because I weighed myself by myself. My value had to do with what I proved I was worth through the way I live. He has a whole different view of my value. Like, he sees me for what I can be. I saw me for what I've been. You see what I'm saying? So the cross, Easter Sunday is amazing because we can look and say, oh my goodness. When Lindsay got up here in the beginning, she had me in tears. It was so powerful. I think Roy lost it before me. He was just, he's down. And I'm like, this girl's messing me up. She said it and Jesus came all over me. And she started talking about reading the Easter story on Easter, which is something I've never done as a preacher. I never like read the Christmas story on Christmas. I just don't. She read it. It was, thank you, Lindsay. It was so powerful. And I'm like, I tapped David later. I said, what's her name? He said, Lindsay. I said, she's amazing. Because of what she sees. I'm not boasting in a woman. I'm saying what she sees is what makes her amazing. She gets it, right? So she said, look, the reason that dead man can come out of the grave, because he already did. Why is that important to Jesus? Why is Jesus doing what he's doing on Easter weekend, the resurrection, the standing before Pilate, getting beat beyond description, guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
Getting so many, nobody ever more perfect, yet treated more wrong. Come on, we were laughing last night at dinner how people, you know, somebody cut you off and you lose your whole disposition. And like freak out, and somebody just gestures and you're, whatever. Jesus, never more right, never more perfect, no one ever more perfect, treated more wrong. And you can't change him. This thing is so much more than forgive me, Lord. It's thank you for showing me what I'm here for, what my life's for. Thank you for showing who I can be if you're in me and I'm surrendered. Thank you for life through Jesus Christ, right? The Bible says the Christ in you is the hope of glory. Forgiveness is a big deal. I'm not making light of it. It's like you have to clarify this stuff. There's so many people like, well, he said this. No. Listen, forgiveness is important. You can't get to him if you're not forgiven. If you don't have the blood of Jesus, your sins can't get washed away. But guys, let's not stop at forgiveness. Let's go after transformation and living life in the Spirit and walking in the light as he's in the light. And if we believe in him, the things he does will do. And if we say, 1 John 2, we abide in him, we have to walk even as he walked. Yeah? I don't know about you, but I'm so impressed with Jesus. It's more than inconvenience. I want to follow him. I want somebody to do me wrong and not know how to be done wrong. Yes. I don't want to be self-centered. I don't want to be self-focused. I don't want to have religion and have a form of something without understanding the power of what I'm saying. I want somebody to mistreat me, and you can't tell I've been mistreated because I don't see mistreated. Because nobody owes me a thing. Why? Because I'm following him. I'm not singing to him. I'm not praying when I'm overwhelmed. Following him. I don't have a needs list. Following him. Not reading because I'm supposed to, because I'm a Christian. Following him. Are you with me? Come on, this Easter weekend is amazing if we understand it's so much bigger than forgiveness. And people get ruffled when you talk like that because we just want to make it all about forgiveness. No, there's a life we got to live right in front of us. And it's new life. And it's through Jesus Christ. So here's the deal. Let me nutshell it for you. I open up my Bible. I don't even know why sometimes I just pour out and I quote some scripture. But I want you to see this. I wasn't even going to go this way, but I'm sitting here in John. I'm this close. So this might be the first time, guys, ever on Easter, I actually went to the Easter story. Like John 20, he's raised from the dead. You guys know that. He raised from the dead. Roy got up and said, he's risen. Yeah. And everybody's like, yeah, it's awesome. Why would God become a man, be born of a woman, and do what he did? It hit me 26 years ago in my bedroom. It brings me to tears, and I'm not being mad at nobody, and I'm not condemning nobody, but nobody ever told me in my life why he died on that cross. All they ever said was, he wanted to forgive me and take me to heaven when I died. That's all they ever told me. And today, that's all people are saying. He died to forgive me and change my destination. That's all I was ever told. Nobody said I could change. Nobody ever said that I could live by the Spirit and actually walk in love. Nobody ever dared believe that I could actually follow him, that his heart becomes my heart. His vision is what I see. And all of a sudden, when I look at you, I actually start seeing what he sees when he sees you. And I don't see misfit, and I don't see, man, I can't believe they said that. And why are they acting like that? And aren't they in leadership? Shouldn't they be? No, no, no. All of a sudden you realize if men are acting a certain way, it's because of what they see or don't see. But you know their potential is way greater. You know what they can be is amazing if they ever see the truth and Jesus ever gets a hold of them in that place. And all of a sudden you never judge a man according to the flesh. You see a man according to his potential. Come on, some of us can't even understand this gospel because we've weighed ourselves by ourselves. And we've compared ourselves amongst ourselves. And we think our own experience is who we're always going to be. And Jesus says it's not true. I want to take that away and give you something new. So what's he have to do? He has to come as a man. Don't get mad at that. Don't criticize that when a preacher says he was a man. Paul said he's a man. Paul said there's one man. There's one mediator between God and man, and he's the man, capital M-A. He didn't say, and there's one son of God. He said there's one man. That doesn't mean he's not the son of God. That doesn't mean that he's not name above every name and King of kings and Lord of lords. But you and I better understand he's a man. Why? Because he's representing all men before the throne. He's the mediator. He's the high priest on behalf of men. His blood's on the mercy seat speaking better things than Abel's blood spoke over Cain. Are you following me? I mean, why would Lindsay said it? You were on it, girl. She did the Easter service. Like, don't touch me. Don't be afraid. Touch me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as I. That's Jesus after the resurrection. What's he saying? still a man. King of kings, Lord of lords, Son of God. Yes, he's God. He's not emphasizing that. That's not the point he's trying to make. He's emphasizing still a man. Why? Because he gives all men access. Why is that important? Because God made man to be one with him, to put who he is inside of man so that love could cover the earth, so we could love one another. Because love fulfills the law, does no harm to a neighbor. You love God with everything you are, and you love others as you love yourself, because you see your value in Christ, and you can hang all the law and all the prophets on those two, which are really one. Are you with me? This is what he did. So then he comes and he gets born of a woman. Guys, he doesn't manifest in the wilderness at age 30 ready for ministry. He doesn't just beam up. Boop. He's born of a woman. That to me is mind-boggling. That God would put himself in the womb of a maybe teenage girl and sit in her womb for 9 months. Come on, don't be in a hurry. Don't get lulled to sleep. Don't let this be a story.
Right.
God did this. He sat inside the womb of a woman, came out her birth canal. She nursed him. They didn't have Pampers and Huggies with sticky tape. Now he's eating. He's going to the bathroom. He's a man. He must think, this is where you get criticized by religion. Watch this. He must think a lot of man and what man can be if he ever surrenders and submits and gets filled with God's Spirit. He must actually think man is worth spending this kind of price for. Come on, you ain't never spent a whole lot for something you knew wasn't worth what you were spending. No preacher in my life told me that Jesus was looking to redeem my value, purpose, and potential. All they made it was about my sin that I'm always going to commit, and it's amazing he loves me, and I'll be saved by the skin of my teeth, and I better hope. And now my heart's broken. I'm sincere. I'm convicted, but I don't have a chance to change because I am what I am, you know. It's not true, and don't let anybody lie to you. Life in the Spirit is possible. You can wake up clean in your heart, and because you believe you're clean in your heart, your life will be clean. You can wake up and know you're accepted, and you'll never live insecure, and you won't need anybody to say a nice word to feel better about yourself, because you feel amazing because Christ died and rose again, because the blood of Jesus said, hey, you're worth it.
Yes.
See, the blood of Jesus, the cross, come on, Good Friday. Good Friday was just a couple days ago celebrated. The cross isn't saying, I hope you're happy now. Look what you've done to me. Look what your sin's done to me. I hope you're happy now.
Oh.
Here's what it says. I know who you are. I've known you from the beginning. I know what I created you to be. It's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't be afraid, little children.
Oh.
I love you. You're a whole lot more than you understand. You're a whole lot more than you see. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. I love you. You're worth it to me. I'm despising the shame because there's a joy set before me. And I see it when I look at you. And you think, I'm going to believe that. And this, he said, she said, well, I feel, well, you shouldn't, well, how come? Not today, friend. Not today, friend. I've been set free. I've been set free from me, living for me, me taking you personal, me letting you and where you are or somebody else decide who I am and how I am. This is good news. It's the gospel, and the Christ in me is the hope of glory. So now I'm locked in. There ain't no turning or shifting a shadow. I ain't selling cheap because I ain't for sale. I've been bought with a price, and I'm not my own. You know what gospel we preach in America? Get saved for you, get saved for your sake, get saved for benefit, get saved for protection, get saved for provision. And you got a lot of discouraged people that go to church. Because they're letting life decide who they are and how they are, instead of the life that's in them deciding why they are. Are you all with me?
Yeah.
Listen, Jesus is beyond impressive. You can't even describe him with words. He's healing the sick and they're criticizing him nonstop. Nonstop. He's healing the sick and it has to be a devil. He's a blasphemer nonstop. Guys, he's not just preaching the truth. He is the truth. Amen. And for 3 years, they couldn't hear. That's scary. They kill him for what he's saying. They're so right in their own mind that they can't even hear truth, and it's standing right in front of them. So the only reason they're listening is for what they don't agree with, not what he's saying. Come on, this is sobering. This is how twisted humanity can be when your heart's not humble and broken and surrendered. That truth is standing right in front of them and they can't possibly hear him. Years. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Explained and excused away. And you'll see one chapter, one paragraph where Jesus is having a fallout, having a backlash, having a mood, throwing a fit, or with issues. You don't see him sitting on a rock discouraged. You don't see Peter putting his arm around saying, "What's the matter, Lord?" "Well, you know, I've just been thinking all night, man. I mean, people just don't really appreciate me, Peter. I mean, I'm doing my best. I'm doing everything the Father's saying. Father, I'm doing like everything. And they're always criticizing. I mean, the other day I fed all their bellies, man. And they were full and they looked all like I was their friend because I fed them. And the only reason they tracked me down and found me over across that, because they wanted another meal. They could care less about what I say, Peter. I'll tell you what, you don't need to pray for me. Listen, I just don't even think I'm going out today. I'm just going to hang back. You guys go. I just need time.
Yeah.
If Jesus didn't teach us that, where'd we so get that? If he said, "Let no one be your teacher because you have one and he's the Christ." If Jesus never taught us that kind of attitude, why is it so prevalent and easy? Because none of us were born of him. We were born into Adam. And what is flesh is of flesh, but what is spirit is of spirit. That's why he said you must be born again. Every one of us was born into separation from God, self-centeredness, me, myself, and I. He said, she said, tit for tat, well, I feel, well, I think, well, you should, opinionated, all about me. And you must be born. And when you're born again, old things pass.
Yes.
Behold.
Oh.
I bet he's not just talking about forgiving and forgetting the boo-boos and the bad things we did. I bet he's talking about where we lived from, what motivated us, how we think, why we think that way, our perspectives. I promise you, if you look at Easter Sunday this way and let the cross change the why in your life, then Jesus will change everything about your life. If you wake up in the morning to shine, if you wake up to love, if you wake up to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit and walk in the light as he's in the light, these things that happen that have moved us, so moved us, you'll respond to them totally different because you'll see from a different place. When you realize nobody owes you a thing, that would be a real day of freedom. When you grow up into Christ enough to never again let where somebody is or isn't decide where you are or aren't. But you're actually following Jesus. And you're not finding truth through circumstances because you already found truth in him. Guys, this is what Easter Sunday is all about. Easter Sunday is all about the why behind the cross, and it's way bigger than "I forgive you." It's "I love you. My love has never failed. I want to live in you as if you never sinned. I want to live in you and shine through you as if you never ate that tree, as if you've always known me, because I have always known you." You get it? I want to show you that in Scripture. See, Jesus didn't just preach this. He modeled this. Like, can you imagine getting beaten beyond description, physically disoriented to where you looked at Roy and you couldn't possibly tell it was Roy? That's scriptural. They didn't just pull his beard and smack him around a little and tack him to a tree. He was marred more than any of the sons of men. He was disfigured to the point that when you looked at him, there was no way you knew it was him. Why is that necessary? Well, Lindsay shared it earlier. The reason the dead man could come out of the grave is because he already did. There's parallel to everything. We'll never die. Because he died and rose again, we're going to live forever. We teach that as if that's the carrot. We teach the motivation of getting saved is going to heaven. The carrot is heaven. The carrot is in heaven. The carrot is transformation. The carrot is new life through Jesus Christ. Going to heaven can be self-centered if you have no other goal. You can go to heaven and stay the same in your mind, but not in Scripture. Come on. We have even reduced our message to serve ourselves instead of his great name. And all of a sudden we can claim heaven, have the same attitudes that bring death. All of a sudden we can feed darkness instead of shine and walk in the light. And all of a sudden their attitude is working against the kingdom, even though we proclaim the kingdom. Come on. Don't you get tricked into a self-serving gospel. If you're listening even by camera right now or somewhere out there, or you're right here, listen, you cannot be a Christian for yourself. You're not a Christian for your sake. If you're a Christian for your sake, self-centeredness will trick you, deceive you. You have emotions and feelings attached to that wrong belief that will cause you to live things that he never is. You say, well, then why am I a Christian? You're a Christian for his great name. That's why you don't understand unforgiveness. That's why you refuse to be offended. That's why you don't take it personal, because you took this personal. And all of a sudden you start understanding what it means to walk in love. All of a sudden you understand what it means to shine. Are you all with me this morning? Come on, just preaching the simple finished work. He died to make this possible. The worst enemy in your life is you just saying, well, we can't live that way. Well, then what are we saying about Jesus? He said, follow me. You're going to tell him we can't? He said, follow me. He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. So if you were the enemy, what would you attack in the church? Belief system. You'd attack what people believe and you'd get them to fight over belief system. You get them to create camps and dig things and split all up based on belief systems and get it so boggled up and confused that all we do is fight each other instead of manifest Christ. The things I do, you'll do if you believe. Jesus said that. I'm going with him. Well, brother, nobody can. Well, yeah, but we're always going to stop. A man that lives in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
That's right.
Stop telling me I have to fail when Jesus says I can be molded and shaped and grow in righteousness. You're saying, what are you saying? You never sin, brother? See, you're listening with the ear they listened to when they crucified him. You're saying what I'm not even saying. I'm saying I'm going after what grace is willing to make me.
Yes.
You're turning it into perfection so you don't have to hear and change. Oh, I'm about coming right now. Come on, it's true. And then you're going to talk me out of what I lived for the last 26 years, and you can't even talk about it from the pulpit because it can't be for real. Because everybody lets their own experience and everybody else's experience rise above the grace of God that's here to change us. And we're just sure we know it all and got it all figured out. So we become intellectual Christians without the transformation of life. Jesus impresses me. Because when he rose from the dead right here in John 20, Mary comes and he says, Mary, and she says, Rabboni, and she's running to him. He said, don't you cling to me. I haven't yet ascended. What's he saying? He's not in unsocial. He's not saying, Mary, you know, don't want to hang out anymore. This whole experience changed me. No, he's not saying that. He said, Mary, love to chat, love to talk. I know you freaked out. You want to cling to my ankles and squeeze me so tight so you know I never slip away again, but I got to slip away. I got to go to the Father. I haven't been to the Father yet, but you go tell my low-life backstabbing two-face, say one thing, do another, that I got a score to settle with them, and I'll be back shortly. Come on. Joyce, I'm going to lose it. I don't know how many pastors aren't hurt and needing sabbaticals and camps and ministries if they're Jesus when their men do what his men did. And it proves we're in ministry, we're not in him. And it proves we're doing what we're doing for our sake and not even realizing it. Because we have needs in our life, and people can break us or people can make us. That's why I have personally heard pastors say, pastoring be great if it wasn't for the people. You look what happened. Jesus doesn't come in the room. You said it. He came in the room and he said, peace to you. He didn't say, I remember y'all said you'd die for me. Yeah, right. Okay. You know, one of the disciples ran out of their clothes to get away. They tried so hard to get away, they struck streaking naked through the trees. Now, I know my hair is white, and that can mean wisdom. But I'm not the wisest man on the planet, but I get this, Larry. If you run out of your clothes, you're not laying down your life. If you run out of your clothes and they're standing there holding your tunic and your robe and they're going, that dude wanted to get away. We don't really know who it was, but Jesus didn't come in that room and instead of saying peace to you, he didn't say, gee, oh, Peter, yeah, okay. Yeah, oh, I'll never, yeah. He's not offended. He doesn't look at the disciple that was streaking and say, oh, dude, are you serious? Or like, look at him and just go, really? Because they're all sitting at the Last Supper with good intentions and they're all saying they'll die for him. He said, no, I'm going to be struck. You're going to scatter. They whispered among themselves and said, no way. Struck, scatter. Jesus raises from the dead. He says to Mary, it's right here in John. It's in John 20. He said, it's in verse 17. He said, go tell my brethren. Do you understand that he didn't even just say, go tell my disciples? Go tell my 12? Well, 11. He said, go tell my, it's covenant term, it's family. And here's what he's saying. You're still my family. Watch. And no matter what just went down, I love you guys, and I have not changed my mind about any of you. You're my brothers. They've done not one thing right. Do you see how deceived guilt and condemnation and shame is? Do you see how when people feel separate from God and they judge themselves and they take on the role of judge and they value themselves and weigh themselves to the place where they don't know how to pray, can't look up, can't sing because they're not worthy? You see how wretched and lying that is to the soul of man? Because these men haven't done anything right. Jesus isn't hurt. He's not offended. He's not looking for a new tribe. He's not questioning the voice he heard when he called their names. Questioning if he even hears God clear because he's weighing circumstances and finding truth through circumstances. No, he's laid down, he's the living epistle of love, and he just can't change his mind about people. Yeah. Hello? 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction is love. Epistles of John, 1 John, if he loved us this way, ought we not love? A man that's perfected in love has no cause, no cause. You can't talk me out of this. You'll never talk me out of this in council. You can't share a crazy enough circumstance to talk me out of this. He who's perfected in love has no reason or cause for offense concerning his brother. I wonder if he kills my child. If he kills your child, you'll cry because you'll lose your child and you'll have physical loss and you'll miss your child, but you have a greater hope and you won't grieve as those who have no hope, and you'll live all the more for the name of Jesus, and you'll grieve for them because if they knew the Lord and were in love with the Lord, they wouldn't have did what they did, and you'll cry for them because you understand because the heart of God lives in you. Instead of hate them and get bitter and let what they're not decide who you are, and then call Jesus Lord when that's Lord. People justify unforgiveness, and what they're doing is they're making their scenario Lord. And then they go to church and ask God to intervene, knock them off their high horse, and you're the one that needs ministry. And you don't even realize it. Forgive them, Father. If they really knew who they were, they wouldn't be living and doing what they're living and doing. Isn't that what Jesus was saying? Catch that on Easter Sunday. And understand that there's one reason Jesus died on the cross above all the others, because there's a lot of reasons. Let's look at eternal life real quick. Is that the time I have right there flashing, right? I got 8 minutes? Wow, that went quick. Watch this. Is forgiveness important? You better believe it. I'm not making light of it. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that forgives me of all sin. So you ought to just receive it and say, yay. Yes. Don't take a test he didn't put on your desk and don't grade the scores. Just say, yay. Yes. While you were yet a sinner, he sent his son. Right. While you were an enemy and alienated by the wicked way your mind worked, he reconciled you through his death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach. Stand there, stay there, and don't leave there. Holy, blameless, and above reproach. But watch, that won't give you permission to sin and get away with it. That'll give you permission to live unto his name. That'll put a diligence in you. That'll humble you, and you'll want to honor him because you love him because he first loved you. And you'll see when you didn't deserve a thing, he gave you everything. And he gave you the kingdom. And you'll see his first love, and you'll begin to love him. And oh my goodness, if you love him, you'll keep his commandments because his commandments aren't burdensome. Yay. So is forgiveness important? Absolutely. But transformation is the number one thing. Eternal life, is it the carrot? No. All Jesus is doing is restoring what Adam had in the garden before he ate the tree. He said, the day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. Why? He was made to never die. Death was never in the picture. He made Adam to be one with him forever. So all Jesus did was restore that truth that was there from the beginning. We turn it into the carrot and the motivation of salvation in the gospel. Salvation is healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, and kept safe and sound. It's not go to heaven. Right. We make the whole push of the gospel to go to heaven. And the whole push of the gospel is to put heaven back inside of mankind. So the kingdom of God is at hand. And go preach saying, it's here. Yeah? So if Jesus sees our value, purpose, and potential through what he created us to be, then he's motivated to do what he did to restore that truth. So did he do what he did just so that when I die, I go to the right place? Or did he do what he did so that as I live from the right place? That's powerful to Jesus, and it must be important, or he'd have never did what he did. So I want you to see this, and I'm going to just close. I'm probably going to turn it over to Roy and let him just close out as your pastor. Watch this. Don't cling to me. I haven't yet ascended to my Father. Go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and to my God and. In John 5, they wanted to kill Jesus for calling God his Father. They said they wanted to kill him for healing on the Sabbath. Now they wanted to kill him all the more because he called God his Father, therefore making himself equal with God, meaning on the same plane, family, bloodline, heritage. When they asked him to teach us how to pray, what'd he say? When you pray, pray saying, what's he saying? Look, guys, you don't get it. You're so estranged. You're so far away from who he created you to be. You're so lost in sin and self and Adam that you don't understand. But he's not only my Father. He is your Father too. And I was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world to come and bring you back home again, because I know who you are. That's why he wept and saw sheep without a shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Yeah, he's the door. You got to come through him. But please, you don't come through him to go to heaven. You come through him so heaven comes into you, so that you can put off the old and put on the new. Get filled with His Spirit and have Holy Spirit teach you what it means to walk in love and not be offended and not carry a grudge and not he said, she said, well, I'm this way because they were. If they would have, well, they shouldn't have. Well, they started. May it never be. I call every one of you to this life of transformation and change this morning in repentance. Jesus got beat beyond description, people. Why? Because when sin got done with Adam in the garden, he didn't look one thing like he was created to be. You could not tell who he was anymore. So Jesus lost his appearance and got so disfigured and marred to pay the price for man to get that identity back and shine again and love again and live in the Spirit again. Man got separated from God, and Jesus brought man back as one. Please don't turn that in to some doctrinal amen or some forgiveness platform or some go to heaven when the trumpet blows platform. No, he gave me new life, and I'm going to die to everything I've ever been so I can live to everything he's created me to be. It's the only place, friend, you'll know freedom, when you're free from you and alive in him. It's the only place that truth really can make you free. Are you with me this morning? Roy, I want you to come up here. He's my buddy. I love him. I want you to close out. I want you to say whatever you feel like you need to say. Invite whatever you need to invite. I only gave you 2 minutes. I'm sorry. But I know he's going to still love me. Yeah.
You know not what you do.
I didn't finish John 20. But he said, as the Father sent me, so I sent you.
Yeah.
For God so, in the beginning, let us make man in our
image.
God is
love.
What was lost when man sinned? Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I send you. And when he said it, guess what he did?
Breathe.
Why'd he breathe and not just speak? Because he took him back to day one, Genesis.
Yeah.
Where God breathed into dirt and man became a living being. Because man standing in front of him was just a shadow, a form of what he was created to be, and the life was lost. And Jesus, as the Redeemer man with his blood speaking better things, came fresh from the holy tabernacle and breathed like God did in Genesis 1. Be filled with Holy Spirit. What's the significance? Watch. As if sin never happened because of the power of his blood.
Come on.